This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. With the 2024 Democratic Convention in Chicago fully underway, Democrats are making their case on the political issues in their speeches at the DNC.
We expanded voting rights and LGBTQ rights, and we enshrined reproductive rights into law, making us an oasis for women throughout the middle of the country whose states have criminalized women's health care.
Now I'm working to earn their trust with fewer, lower costs, investing in infrastructure, and protecting abortion rights.
They want to reverse voting rights. They want to reverse abortion rights. They want to reverse workers' rights, Terry. They want to reverse LGBTQ plus rights. And they want to ban books and erase history. Do we want to go in reverse?
No!
Anybody want the shuttle bus today to go in reverse down 290?
House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch giving some traffic advice, I guess, there at the breakfast meeting yesterday at the DNC of Illinois Democrats. We only have 14 minutes for this conversation, so we're not going to get to all of those issues, but we do want to talk about some of them. So joining us now are two people who are politically, or I should say are associated with the group Braver Angels, which aims to bridge the partisan divide, have conversations across difference, you might say. Luke Phillips is director of the America's Public Forum at Braver Angels. Luke, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, James Kappelman, a member of Braver Angels and a former Chicago alderman. Welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Thank you, Jose.
So one of the top issues for a lot of voters this year is immigration. In fact, Braver Angels held a forum on that yesterday. I should say this has become a more salient issue in Illinois since Texas Governor Greg Abbott has been busing migrants here. James Kappelman, I'll begin with you. How do you think President Biden and Vice President Harris have been handling the situation with immigration and the border?
Well, it's certainly a very touchy issue, and I'm originally from Texas. So, I taught in a school with a lot of undocumented students. This is a situation that's happening all over our planet where there's a lot of political unrest and people are escaping to countries, Great Britain or France and the United States. And so this is something that we have to resolve. But the way to do it, and I believe President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, we're doing a way that's going to unite us because we have to be united to make that happen.
Luke, from your perspective, what do you think about how President Biden and Vice President Harris have been handling the situation?
I think they've been stuck with a very sticky situation, and it's just an intensification of the way immigration has distorted actual American political divisions in the last 25 years. I think in the situation that their administration inherited, they've done probably about as well as any Democrat would have done. The thing that's more interesting to me about this coming election is not what the Republicans and Democrats are saying about immigration. It's more, I think, what are the continuities going to be in the next administration's approach to this? And that's something that we in Braver Angels are thinking pretty hard about ourselves. And it'll be interesting to see how it goes forward.
James, this is one of those issues where it seems like when you hear people on the left and people on the right talk about it, it's like they're discussing two very different issues, right? People on the left, you know, America, they point to the Statue of Liberty and they say, my great-grandparents came here, so why shouldn't a new generation be able to come here and make a better life for themselves? Whereas people on the right, you know, they see downsides with crime. And I guess when you go to the extreme right, you know, replacement theory and ideas like that, how do, as a member of this organization, Braver Angels, how do you try to reach and bridge across these divides? And James Kappelman, I'll begin with you.
Well, the thing that I've learned as a city council member for the city of Chicago is that the way to come up with good answers is to bring in people with different viewpoints. And when you do that, you can address the unintended consequences. And that's why I'm adamantly believe that our best answers are going to come from all of us working together.
Luke, what do you think about that? Is this one of those issues that, I mean, it seems intractable. It seems like sort of people are speaking from different factual universes, maybe, when they're talking about it? Have you seen successful efforts, you know, through Braver Angels of people actually bridging these divides?
I think at least two things are true. I think on the one hand, the huge variety of personal and political experience in this is irreconcilable. There's like people do have different worlds, different values, different universes that they approach on this. That being said, we see it all the time when we bring people together on this. You yourself mentioned the question of fairness and opportunity as something that people on the right and people on the left approach this with in different ways, and sometimes positive and sometimes negative ways. But that kind of idea of fairness and opportunity as a thing that has been lost and theoretically was once there, and now we don't have it, and that's why this issue is tearing us apart. I hear that all the time when I hear conservatives and liberals speak about this issue. And so I don't know if I'm optimistic that we can come to a big political reconciliation about it in the near future, but I am optimistic that there's far more common understanding of what the issue is than I think you will normally hear in any political rally or on any political media ever about this. I think people do have a sense of what they want.
Luke, I also want to ask you, so one of the other, there was a Braver Angels, I don't know if I mentioned this, had an event on this very topic on Monday. One of the other events they're hosting this week is a debate on progressivism. I think that's coming up on Thursday. Luke, what do you think about that? How do you think about how the country is approaching this, how Democrats are approaching this idea of progressivism?
Well, I mean, it's an integral part of the American political tradition. And as a nerd, I am just really interested in seeing what people who are far more influential in their progressive political circles than I am are thinking about that, including James, incidentally. James will be one of our panelists for that debate, and I'm excited to hear his framings on this. But no, so the reason why we're having that debate is because, as you see, as James sees, as I see, as everybody around us is seeing, there are huge changes shifting in American politics right now, right under our feet. In the very meanings of words and in the very meanings of ideas and the coalitions that are voting for those words and ideas. And that is happening on the right, that is happening on the left, that is happening in the center on all these things. And it's not always a right versus left thing. What I want to learn about and what I want to hear from our panel on Thursday is what exactly are the real divides inside the Democratic Party? What exactly is the left to center or cultural versus structural or whatever divide in the Democratic Party? How is that best understood by liberals? How should conservatives and moderates and everybody else understand that? And what does that mean for the balance of the party system? And so to be honest, I mean, I have grown up in conservative circles my whole life. I have a good sense of what the divides on the right are. I'm trying to learn more about what the divides are on the left, because I think those will be more and more salient as we get to Election Day. So we'll see.
Yeah, and James Gabelman, I'm sure you're aware of those divides on the left, because although Illinois has been a trending Democratic state for many years now, it was for a long time a more conservative Democratic state. And it's only, I guess, more recently begun to embrace, or maybe the progressive wing has gotten more power as it's grown. Can you talk about how you see that divide?
Some of it is a reflection of what we're seeing across this country. The people on the far left, they tend to be much younger, Generation Z, millennial. They are experiencing a lack of hope right now. And so this is the group that's experiencing the highest rate of depression. And so they're pretty angry, and that's what we're seeing. And it almost boils down to a battle between those who are believed to be the oppressors against those who are believed to be the oppressed. And so we're seeing that. And what worries me, and I see myself as a progressive, but what worries me is that as we fight with the oppressed and oppressor way of thinking, is that put ourselves in win-lose situations. We don't focus on win-win solutions, and I think we suffer when that happens.
You know, that's interesting. Win-win situations and focusing on difference and that oppressor or oppressed sort of framing of issues. It puts me in mind, one of our producers, Christine Hatfield, has been in Chicago for the DNC, and she got some tape from a woman named Heather Perowski from Indiana. Here's what she had to say about looking for bipartisanship in Indiana. This was having to do with legislation on breast cancer.
I mean, I think that you have to just kind of show up and just meet people where they are. And obviously, for me, it's being laser focused, because in Indiana, over 5,400 Hoosiers are diagnosed with breast cancer every year, and over 900 of us die. And that statistic is too much, right? And so we're losing too many people to breast cancer, and I think it hits home with everyone.
Okay, so she was talking about, and maybe it wasn't quite on the tape there, but she had this example of Indiana legislators kind of coming together on this issue. I guess, how Luke, from your perspective, how do we make legislating more productive, or at least more constructive?
I don't know. I'm not a legislator. I've never engaged in legislation in my life. I think James has a far better approach to this. But what I will say is that the task of legislation and governance, and the task of party maintenance, party unity in governance, from what I can observe, those are two very different things. And people in government have multiple levels of responsibilities. They have a responsibility to represent the people who got them to where they are, and they have a responsibility to represent and to serve both the people who got them to where they are and the people who did not vote for them, who will never vote for them, but who are still part of the broader constituency of the American people there and there. And I think there's a lot of accusations of bad faith that go around, that people are corrupted by the interests, or that people are unresponsive to the actual will of the people when they're in government. And I think at the end of the day, a lot of Americans don't give our elected leaders the benefit of the doubt that there are multiple constituencies and multiple responsibilities that they have, and that those force them into choices that we who have never been on a ballot before never really have to make. And so in terms of, like, can that lead to better policies if we do that? Maybe. I think the bigger thing is that I don't know that I believe most of us really fully understand the difficulty of the job of our political leaders. And in a time when there's so many more pressures, not only coming from us, but coming from the dysfunctions of the system and media and finance and everything more broadly, the job seems more difficult than ever. But James, I'm wondering what your insight is on that, because you have actually served not only on the ballots, but actually with your name behind the box. I'm wondering what you think on that, too.
You know, I'm just going to come in and say we only have about a minute left in our time together. And James, Luke's comment, I just want to share one quote from George W. Bush, of all people, that's been rattling around in my mind. He said, "Too often we judge other groups by their worst examples while judging ourselves by our best intentions." And I was reminded of that with some of what Luke had to say. But you get the last word in our conversation, James.
Well, thanks, Brian. It's very intense. As a city council member, I did have my life threatened, where someone had plans to kill me at an event right outside my office. So it's extreme. I think that what we need to do as politicians is learn to engage people in a way that invites curiosity, and I think that will kind of get people to listen to one another better.
James Kappelman is former Chicago alderman and a member of Braver Angels. Luke Phillips, director of America's Public Forum at Braver Angels. They are doing the work, trying to have that conversation across our political divides. Luke and James, thank you for sharing some of your time with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having us.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to be continuing our week-long coverage of the Democratic National Convention. Of course, tonight, you can hear from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and former President Barack Obama, also a former Illinois State Senator. Tomorrow on our show, we will be talking about Latino voters in 2024, where they might be going, and some of the changes we've seen in the Latino voting blocks. from the past few election cycles. That is all coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show, which is produced by Anna Casey and Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Stephanie Mosqueda. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. And Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.